Hey there, ProSide small group leaders. Thank you for joining us for another Small Group Leaders podcast, where we help you prepare to lead your small groups. It's Pastor Billy here. I'm joined by campus missionary Lexen Lomibao.
Hello.
And we're excited to dive into this week's discussion with you. And but before we do, just a couple of quick reminders to us as leaders. We have our All Small Group Leaders Summit coming up on April the 27th. If you haven't had a chance to sign up for that yet, please do. There's a link that was sent in the emails recently, and please make sure you sign up for that. You don't want to miss it because we have a special guest. This is going to be a special one. We have Dr. Marcy Verduin, who's going to be coming to equip us on making disciples by helping us to understand how God made us and wired us for discipleship. She's one of the nation's top psychiatrists. She trains psychiatrists around the country. She writes the textbooks that psychiatrists and psychologists get trained by, and so she's top. But beyond the level of her expertise is she's a spirit-filled disciple maker at her church. She's at Pastor Keith Towers' church, and she co-wrote that book with Pastor Keith. And so we're excited to have her come and equip us. She was at a conference. We were ministering in Sydney together at this conference, and I just thought, man, this woman is amazing. We need to have her in Hawaii. So we're excited to be able to bring her out to help equip us on making disciples with her expertise. I know it's going to be good. Second reminder for us is we have our Schools of Empowerment coming up. May 20th to 24th, we have the School of Empowerment and the School of Healing. And last year, it was tremendous. Everyone that went was truly impacted by the power of God. I mean, we had miracles break out, a whole bunch of amazing stuff, and more importantly, equipped us to be empowered by the Spirit to make disciples. And so if you have a chance to please sign up to that, links were sent to you as well, and we'll also post it on our website as well for more information. And that's registration ends April 16th. That's the deadline, but if you need more time, just let us know. We want to get you in there. All right, we're going to dive into our discussion guide for the week. And you know, one of the things that's really important, I think, to remember is that after Easter, Jesus was super busy. Like, he didn't take a vacation. Like, I don't know about you. If I went to the cross, I'd be like, you know, I'm going to need about 40 days off. Jesus didn't do that. He spent the next 40 days ministering to people, appearing to people. I like to say following up with people after the resurrection, proving that he was alive and commissioning people to ministry. It's a really remarkable thing. And one of those moments happened in the text that we looked at this weekend in Luke 24, where he met two people on the road to a town called Emmaus. And it says in the text that he came up behind them, meaning he chased them down.
Yep.
And then he walked with them and began explaining things to them. But when he found them discouraged and disappointed. And because Jesus was crucified, they didn't understand why those things had happened. And how many of us know that when people come and hear the gospel for the first time at Easter, they're not going to fully understand.
Yep.
They're still going to be a little discouraged about life and maybe confused, and that's where we find these men. And so Jesus came up alongside them, began to explain things to them. They didn't recognize him, but he walked alongside them in their disappointment, talking them through their disappointment, unpacking the scripture in their disappointment. And what we find is eventually their eyes were opened. And rather than being disappointed and discouraged and depressed, they were filled with hope. And then they went out and began to tell everybody, Jesus is alive. They began to preach the gospel, right? And there's so much in this for us, but a couple of thoughts here in our discussion guide. Jesus walks alongside us in life's disappointments. Even when we may not recognize his presence, he's there. And I love that. He's walking alongside us in our disappointments. And just as they didn't recognize him, sometimes we don't recognize him, even though he's walking with us. Yeah. The second thing we see is that we need to seek Jesus in scripture to guide us closer to him, even when you face doubt and disappointment. The Bible reveals God's plan and purpose for our lives and builds our faith. And it says in the scripture that we looked at, he began to open up the scriptures to them, right? Mm-hmm. Helping them to understand. And as he did that, something was stirring in their hearts and faith was being built. And we need to do the same. When we face disappointment, when the people that we're reaching out to are disappointed, we have to help them in scripture to see so that faith can grow in their hearts. And then lastly, after their eyes were open, they got up and returned to Jerusalem and told everybody, Jesus is alive, it's true, he's risen, right? So sharing our faith and testimony brings us and others closer to Jesus. This is important as we continue to progress in our walk with Jesus. And there's so much out of this text and so much out of the weekend message that can be discussed. And so the first discussion question there is, as we always do, what is the Holy Spirit highlighting to you from the past weekend sermon and the main thought and scriptures explained? Lexen, what are your thoughts coming out of this?
Yeah, no, as you were sharing, I was just reminded of the testimony that we all saw about James Ernston. The amazing thing about it is that when he heard the gospel for the very first time, it was from Uncle Merrick, and he didn't want to listen to it at first.
Yeah, he didn't understand.
No,
yeah.
He didn't understand it, and he got to a point where he got so depressed because he had, obviously, his physical ailments, and he was just in a very, very low place where he shut everybody out.
Yeah.
But yet, from his story, and even shared with me personally, that Merrick would knock on his door, and for somehow he found his house, and he would knock on his door three times. And James got to the point where he said, I'll answer. Yeah. And then when he finally answered, that's when Merrick prayed for him, and then he ended up coming to church, and you all know the story. He got saved and everything of that sort. But the point that I'm making here is that there are so many people that were touched by the presence of God during this past Easter, but for some of them, they might not be as excited as they were, but we need to be that spiritual irritant in their life, following up and following through. Because even in my own story, an Uber driver who led me to Jesus, he walked me through the word. And I said, I don't want nothing to do with this guy. And I kid you not, he called me for 4 weeks straight. Wow. And I didn't answer at all. But finally I did. And because of that, I'm here today. So there's so many people that we have in our lives that we need to follow up and follow through, where we have to recognize that now the real work begins in making disciples of the people we invited.
That's so great. You know, that's right. You know, thinking about James's testimony, right? Merrick shared his story. I shared the gospel with him. He's like, yeah, that's good for you.
Yep.
And maybe you know, people in our groups, you know, experienced that, where they invited someone to Easter, they heard the gospel. I know all of our services at all of our locations were phenomenal. And maybe they went home and they said, that's good for you.
Yep.
You know, like, yeah, that's good. That was very interesting. Or that guy gave a nice speech, you know. You know, it was a nice story, but that's good for you. And we can get discouraged, right? And so leaders, we may have people in our groups that are discouraged. You know, I invited my friend. I thought this would be it. And he's kind of like, you know. Don't be discouraged, but keep following up and following through. Because we see these disciples discouraged. They didn't understand him. But I love that picture. It says he chased them down, essentially.
Yep.
He came up behind them. He had to have been walking real fast, or maybe even jogging, you know. Mm-hmm. But he was unrelenting, like Merrick was with James, and then something can happen later on. So encourage people, even in their disappointments about their friends and their loved ones, you know. Or maybe someone came to Easter and they're like, yeah, you know what, I'm out, you know. Don't be discouraged. Keep following up and following through, because at the right time, God can break through. You know, I was also thinking about, just in disappointments, how many of us have the situation where we prayed for something and it didn't go the way that we want?
Yeah.
Right, and then you feel yourself, metaphorically speaking, walking away, almost having given up on that situation because Jesus didn't do what I thought he would do. But that's what these dudes in the road to Emmaus were dealing with. I mean, Jesus died. As far as they knew, he was buried in that tomb and it was over. They didn't understand. They were discouraged. But when we look at the word, right, Jesus opened the scriptures to them, faith came. And I was reminded that of that scripture, faith comes by hearing the word of God. The more we hear the word, the more faith can build in us. And so, you know, as we're following up, even in our own lives, we need more of the word in our lives. We need to get word into people because that's where faith comes from, right? So don't give up. Keep diving into the word, because faith will come at the right time. And which leads us to this second question. Describe a moment in your life when you felt Jesus was walking alongside you during a challenging time. What did you learn? Maybe you felt Jesus walking alongside you, or maybe even you didn't realize he was until later, and you look back, I can see how Jesus was with me. This is be a great question for you to reflect on, leaders, and maybe share a moment where you felt like he was with you, or maybe you felt alone, but now you look back, you realize he was with you, because that will help build faith in others. As you share your testimony, there might be someone sitting there going, oh man, I don't know, but they hear your story and it could build faith in them. Any thoughts on that, Lex?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you know, even as I was kind of reflecting on this, I was reminded of even way before I even went into ministry, there was a point where I had an opportunity to take a promotion and it seemed like a great opportunity. I'd make a whole lot of money at a young age. But God told me not to take it. And in that moment, for about 4 weeks, I went unemployed after that. But I kept on going to the word. And when I had 50 cents left in my bank account.
50 cents.
Literally, 50 cents. I was a window shopper for sure. But from that, one day, God told me, he said, just trust me and just follow me. And then long story short, in my bank account, somehow $180 was deposited into my bank account. And I couldn't even see the transaction or the trails that even led to that. And God reminded me saying, I have you and I got you. But I want to even answer the third question where it says, can you share an example of a time when studying the Bible helped me understand God's plans or purpose in a situation? Long story short, after that deposit came into my bank account, I got a job interview. I got a job and it was fantastic. But maybe after about a year and a half, I got to a place where I said, I don't want to be working this job anymore. I don't want to be a financial loan advisor. It's exhausting. It's annoying. And the verse that came up as I was studying my word, it was, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, Colossians 3:23. And I put that right on my desk. And then even in that moment, God reminded me saying, you weren't just called there to get a paycheck. You were called there to be salt and light. And when God reminded me saying that, how can they hear unless they hear it preach? Or how can you even preach unless you send yourself? God reminded me saying, you have been placed there to share your testimony. Mm. So in that office space as a financial loan advisor, I shared my story with somebody, and then I shared my testimony, and then I shared it with somebody else, and then I shared it with somebody else. And then God said, start a Bible study. Mm. And I said, what are they going to say? What if they don't like it? I don't even know if they're Christian. And he said, exactly. Mm-hmm. So I put out a message. I invited everybody for a 30-minute Bible study. Nice. We just went through the word. And it started with 3 people. By the time I was done, there was 15 people.
Wow.
And about 5 people received Jesus into their life. They'll go back to their cubicle with tears in their eyes saying, Lexan, why'd you make me cry again? All these older ladies with mascara going all over the place. And I said, it wasn't me. It was God. I have no idea what I'm doing. I've never been a part of Pearlside yet. But the reason why I'm sharing that today is because for some of us, we might feel like we're trapped in a place when we've actually been assigned to a place.
Wow, that's good.
Called to be salt and light, especially mm-hmm. in this season that we're in. But it was because I went to the Word and I allowed the Word to guide me in the midst of my disappointment.
Wow, that's really great. I like what you said there. Sometimes we may feel trapped, but maybe we're called mm-hmm. in that situation. We're trapped at a job, we're trapped in a situation, but maybe it's because we're called to the people that are there. That's huge. Mm-hmm. And you got that revelation through the Word, yep. right? And that's it. You know, I think, you know, if we can help people to open the Scripture and see what God is saying to them in their situation, man, that's where transformation takes place, right? It's not the woe is me, God's mm-hmm. abandoned me. No, He's never abandoned you. His Word promises He never will. It's just we don't recognize Him. Like yep. those men didn't recognize Jesus. And but when we begin to open the Word, it becomes clear. Mm-hmm. And then we can begin to recognize Him. No, that's really great, Lex. I mean, I was just thinking as you were sharing, you know, when we were going through our season with Micah's health, and I was like, man, I felt like Job. Yeah. So I opened up the book of Job. I started reading the book of Job. And nothing will... You know, it could either really depress you or make you feel better about your situation because you can say, well, at least my life doesn't suck like Job's.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you don't know the book of Job, you'll go read it. You'll either be really encouraged or really depressed. I'm not sure which one it is. But as I was reading through the book of Job, you know, just seeing this man suffering so badly, it gave me a little bit of encouragement because, like, yeah, my life's not as bad as his, okay? Yeah. But then I came to the end, and one of the things that I love what Job said, you know, he said, before my ears heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Mm. And it was through his suffering that he came to see God. I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me in that moment that I want you to see me more clearly through this. You're going to see me more clearly through this. And it was a rhema word, man. And I was encouraged. Like, okay, God, if I'm going through this because you want me to see something different about you, then I want it. And I started diving into Scripture more, started diving into prayer more, stopped feeling sorry for myself, started seeking Him more. And I can tell you that I grew a lot in that season, you know, and it gave me hope in the midst of that. But that came through the Scripture. Yeah. If someone had told me, you know, hey, you know, you're going through this so that you can see the Lord more clearly, I'd be like, bruh. The heck you think you talk? You know what I mean? Yep, I would have been upset. You know what I mean? Like, don't tell me that. I don't want to hear that. But when God tells you that,
it's different.
It's totally different, uh-huh. right? And so we like to give people advice. You know, the best advice we can give people is open your Bible
yep.
and read it and let the Word of God speak to you. Because they'll just chuck your advice. You know what I mean? So, but when God speaks, it's totally different. Amen. So leaders, let's create space to talk about that, you know? And maybe you need to share an example. the people in your group may not have an example of that, but they'll listen to your stories and hopefully it'll encourage them. But it can lead us to this last question then about what are some practical ways we can share our faith and the good news of Jesus Christ with others in our daily lives? What challenges do you face in sharing your faith? And I would just want to, you know, really challenge us with this thought again that Jesus pursued these people after mm-hmm. Easter. And it wasn't just these two people. He pursued a ton of people. The book of Acts is filled with stories of Jesus appearing to people, and the book of Luke, by the way, where he appeared to them and revealed that he was alive, encouraged them, and commissioned them to the mission. And it was amazing. And here's what I love about this story. He walked with them. He invited himself to eat with them, you know, essentially. And they invited him to sleep over. But here's what I love. He stayed with them until their eyes were open.
Yep.
And then when their eyes were open, that's when he disappeared, mm-hmm. right? But he didn't disappear until their eyes were open. And sometimes we disappear from people's lives prematurely.
Yep.
We need to just keep walking with them. We just keep eating with them. We need to keep showing up at their house for game nights or whatever, hangouts or whatever. Keep showing up until their eyes are open. And once their eyes are open, then you can, not disappear, but now you can move on to the next phase of discipleship. But continue to follow up, because that's why we're there. We're not stuck. We're not trapped. We're assigned. I love that, Lexan, to the people and the situations that we're in. Well, amen. Thank you, leaders, for all that you're doing. You know, we had an amazing Easter weekend, and but we now want to follow up. And maybe some of the folks are discouraged. Maybe you're discouraged. Hopefully this discussion will help you. And I want to encourage us to be like Jesus. And let's follow up with those. Chase them down. Show up at their house. Mm. Eat the food. You know, bring food. Don't eat their food. You know what I mean? And stay until their eyes are open. And let's believe, God, that through this time, we're going to see tons and tons of people come to faith and have their hopes restored, even in the midst of disappointment. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Well, thank you for all you do. We love you guys. We're looking forward to what God's going to do through all of us together and in your life as well. God bless you. Have a great week in the Lord. And we'll see you again. God bless. Thank you.
God bless you.